Hello and welcome to our Lone Star Show for Monday, August 3rd. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you. I'm actually relocated into the annex. At one point, this space was known as the Degenerate Flophouse from Travers Pass and Whitney Days Pass, where various friends who play the horses would descend on Saratoga from various parts of the country and sleep in here. It was very flophouse-esque. These days, it's much nicer, much more like an apartment slash office. But I think I'm going to go with the Degenerate Flophouse. It is adjacent to the little house on the east side. And I'm very happy to be joined today. JK having the day off, got a lot going on, this being Travers Week and all. But very happy to be joined by another Texas bred, though I don't know, maybe he's a Brooklyn bred who was dropped in Texas. We'll ask him when he gets here in a second. I'm talking, of course, if you haven't figured it out by now, Nick Tamaro. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Pete, how you doing?
Things are good. So what do you consider your state heritage? Are you a proud son of the state of Texas, or how does your Brooklyn roots play into how you describe yourself?
I think my parents would be a little disturbed to hear me say that I do consider myself a Texan. Yeah, I don't know where I fall on the different states have the different state bred rules, and you've got the confused and fold and this. I've never gotten into the details with them on the conception part. I don't think I really want to know, but I think there is a chance that may have happened in the Northeast, but we did have a lot more family in Brooklyn then than we did anywhere else. So a little bit of both. And then I guess what's funny about it is having always been into New York racing and having handicapped New York racing publicly and this and that, I think so many people just equate me with New York. And then I get the occasional, "You're from Texas?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm from Texis." Amazingly enough, like, well, you don't sound like it.
That absolutely happened with me. Between knowing, at one point what I knew about you was how you sounded on the air with Steve Bick. I knew that we had a mutual friend and a longtime New Yorker in Andy Serling, and I knew your copious knowledge of the NYRA circuit. So yes, I think I would describe myself when I found out your true state of origin as stunned speechless. So there you go. But you are a Texas bred. You're very involved in Texas racing as well. Your knowledge is fantastic, whether it comes to Sam Houston, where you've done some work, or of course, Lone Star Park, where we've been chatting about fairly regularly throughout the course of this summer. And we're going to look at today's double. We start off with a 3-and-up maiden race for 5 furlongs on the turf. This is a race where fillies and mares. This is a race where I'm wondering if it's as simple as it looks on paper, because number 4, Comic, has run 3 races that in figure terms are all north of the typical requirement to win a race like this. On breeding, looks like the move to turf should be okay, has speed. The price is going to be fractional. But Nick, I need your buy-in on this. Is this as simple as single and move on, or can we get a little creative in this spot?
It does appear as if this horse is going to be pretty tough to beat. You want to say, as you would, I guess, do in maybe the car sales business, this horse is priced to move. And she's definitely priced where she's supposed to be successful. Now she was a big disappointment last time in losing at 1-5, and it was just a first time starter. I can't remember. I think it was a Robertino Diodoro horse that got loose and she couldn't reel her in. But second off the layoff, now moving to the turf, this is a horse that I think the hopes were certainly quite a bit better than she's panned out to be. But this is the right kind of spot, and she's supposed to win. Steve Asmussen finally got his son, Keith James Asmussen, a win last week on Inniscluire for Phoenix Thoroughbreds. And he's still, I think, in search of his second career win. And he'll be a heavy favorite again aboard this filly. I thought the one alternative that I could really tolerate was Gracely, who's one door to the outside of Comic. She went 7.5 last time, which of course is a 2-turn race, and was right on top of a pretty strong pace. This is a situation where the steady at the 16th is by all means accurate, but her race was pretty much over at that point. She was probably going to be no better than third. I think the only thing it did was exaggerate the margin a tad. I will say, based on a couple of races she ran last year for Mike Stidham, this is a filly who needs to go 5.5, something like that. I think this distance suits her quite a bit better. She actually ran well at Sam Houston, 2 back and finishing second to a Steve Asmussen trainee in Majestic Queen. And Austin Gustafson, who was on an incredible roll before the little break that was taken at the beginning of July, has picked things up again, had a win yesterday, and now has 5 wins since racing returned on July 19th. So this is a barn, and Lane Luzzi's his main rider, who's also been doing extremely well at the meet. So this seemed like the only real alternative to me. I think all in all, it'll end up being either the favorite or the second choice.
Let me ask you about career maidens like Grace Lee. You just told me a story that made me a lot more interested in Grace Lee than I was before, because my, you know, the gut I think all horse players have when you're looking at the for say more than, I don't know, 8, is to get a little bit cynical. But when you re-look at Grace Lee's form through the lens of anything over than 5.5 is too far, all of a sudden you see a kind of a different looking past performance that does make her seem like an extremely valid threat at what's got to be twice the price of the likes of Comic. I'm just curious to know how in general you approach quote-unquote career maidens. Do you try to just let the numbers tell you who they are? Do you try to assess if they have character flaws? What's your approach to these ofer horses in maiden races?
I think when you're talking about a specific drop in class or something along those lines, or maybe a surface change or something that this horse is getting for the first time, it might be a time where you'd be a little bit more forgiving in terms of not focusing on how ofer what they are. Obviously this is a filly who's done this before and has done this at this level. So your inclination is not to give her a big pass for this, but I will say that, you know, in this situation, this looks like a horse that's getting back into top form for a good barn and has back races that win this. And I think she's just been a victim of circumstance more than anything else. So I think she wasn't quite good enough to compete with some of the horses she faced in the Mid-Atlantic and Northeast, and now is in a far more realistic spot. So this is one that I would give one more try to, because I think you're going to get a decent enough price. But believe me, if you were to tell me I have no interest in this horse because I'm not taking horses at 7-2, 3-1, or 7-2 that are 0-11, and if it failed at this, either this level or a lesser level and this particular distance and surface, I'm not going to spend a lot of time disagreeing with you.
That's a great point about the difference between maiden special, of course, and maiden claiming. Totally different ballgame. And if you eliminate all the maiden special weight runs, the last of which, as you pointed out, was actually a sneaky okay, then the form comes into focus. I'm definitely much more interested in Grace Lee than when we started the show, especially because of the tiny, tiny number that Comic is going to be. But let's move on to our second race of this double sequence on this Lone Star Monday. This time around, we stay in the maiden ranks, but we move over to the dirt. We've got 3 and up maiden claimers going 7. Nick, what caught your eye in this race?
Yeah, as much as I wanted to find an alternative, I thought End Zone was going to be pretty tough in this race. And Carl Broberg won 5 races on yesterday's card and certainly amasses that big win percentage year in and year out with being shrewd at where he spots horses, both in the maiden ranks and then in the claiming game. And End Zone is a horse that now for 12.5 looks like he's priced to move as well. I mean, he's priced to win, drew favorably on the outside. This is a horse with a lot of speed, and the leading jockey, Ramon Vasquez, is on board. So it just looked like everything was kind of falling into place. I thought that there was maybe a slight case that could be made for Crazy Legs Hirsch, who's back in for a tag after facing Maiden Special Weight Company. That was a pretty salty Maiden Special Weight group last Wednesday, last Monday. And you know, he didn't run poorly. And 2 back, I thought he actually ran very well. He made a bold move into a slow pace to get the lead and then was collared late. So I think there's a little bit to like there. I suppose some people are going to like Tapalist. This is a horse who's in for a tag, a relatively modestly priced son of Tonalist that's now racing in the claiming ranks for the first time. Obviously, nothing's gone right for this horse. So perhaps maybe the drop in class will do it. I'd rather one that's run speed figures that are a little bit more competitive. I think End Zone wins the race all in all. And I should mention Starzip also, who's also from the Steve Asmussen barn. He's been running in maiden special weight races at Louisiana Downs. Very clear cut that maiden special weight races at Louisiana Downs are weaker across the board than they are at Lone Star, and even the maiden special to 12.5 drop isn't quite as significant as that drop that End Zone is taking. So I just think End Zone at the end of the day is going to get the job done.
Looks like a very good chance to lead him on a merry chase. And you look at the last race, and I think some people might have the gut reaction that End Zone doesn't want to go this far, but I think it was probably more of a case, looking at pace figures, of going a bit too fast. And in the hands of Broberg, who is very shrewd, a horse player himself, who's been on the show and competed at the National Horse Players Championship. I feel like he's in this spot because he thinks he can get him to go that more of a measured pace and get the job done in this spot as a presumptive heavy favorite. I've got to take a shot because your knowledge, Nick, in not just horse racing, but also I would say pop culture trivia and sports, very strong. I'm just going to see if I can stump you though with, do you know who Crazy Legs Hirsch was?
You know, I looked this up when this horse ran the first time and I can't remember. Yeah.
LA Rams.
right. Star. Yeah. Didn't pan out in the NFL?
Yeah, I think he had some good seasons with like Norm Van Brocklin era 1950s Rams and had the great, I mean, it's obviously one of the great sport nicknames of all time, Crazy Legs Hirsch, that I think was given to him by a college. A college sports writer describing, I guess, his unusual gait. But anyway, I had to take a shot there. It doesn't look like we're going to get any huge prices in today's Lone Star Double if we're right. But hey, I think the idea of just playing those couple of combinations and hitting them pretty hard has a chance to make us some money on this Monday. Did you have any other wagering thoughts about how you might construct your tickets, or is this as simple as playing it 2 by 1 and waiting it a little bit?
Yeah, I think doing exactly that. It just depends on how much heavier you might want to go on the comic end zone combination than you do on the Gracely end zone. I would be inclined to play them equally and just hope that that you can make a decent profit with comic, but maybe you can really score with Gracely. And I think those, in my opinion, their respective win chances are about even. So I think that's the way to play it in order to try and maximize profit.
Agreed, because you'll actually get some good juice on the combination you like. You get your money back and a little more, maybe enough for a pizza if it comes in chalk. So there you have it. Nick, thank you so much. We're going to have you back to talk about Tuesday at Lone Star as well. Any other thoughts on this card before we move it along to the next one?
No, certainly ready to see how this double pans out and looking forward to doubling up on Tuesday as well.
I like it. All right. So thank you, Nick. Thank you to our sponsors at Lone Star Park. We will be back tomorrow. May you win all your photos.